Hey, this is Scott Snyder. I'm writing All-Star Batman this year, and you're listening to the Comic Syndicate.
I'm Mitch Gerrans, the artist of Sheriff of Babylon.
I'm Tom King, the writer of Sheriff of Babylon, and you're listening to the Comic Syndicate.
This is Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman, and you're listening to the Comics Syndicate.
Hi, my name is Brian Bucciolato, and I listen to Comic Syndicate.
Hi, this is Chris Michello. We're hanging out here at Frank and Sons, and we're having a good time on a Sunday or Saturday afternoon. And you're listening to me live on the Comic Syndicate.
Hi, this is Brian Michael Bendis, and you are listening to the Comic Syndicate.
Comic Talk.
Welcome to the Comic Syndicate episode 275. I'm Josias at For the Villain on Twitter, at Comic_Syndicate on Instagram. What's up, guys? Episode 275. Normally are huge milestones, which this one is. I normally like to do something. This one happens to land on a weird weekend where I'm really having to split things up in a weird way. And it's going to make sense with bullet points. But first, I'm going to hit what we spoke about 100 episodes ago. Episode 175, we entitled hashtag Skynet Porn. At Mem the Beaner and at For the Villain, play catch up, shoot weekend stories, drop shout outs. What we spoke about 100 episodes ago, then go into what the fuck news and / tech news. These caterpillar robots could become whatever you need. And Wolverine inspired material may help humanoid robots self heal. Just interesting things I always find on the news across the board, and just things I always find interesting and cool and fun to talk about, like thought-provoking shit. I would always bring over. I remember more of the Wolverine humanoid thing. It was more like a mesh fabric, and there were some synapses in there where it could like replace or replicate some weird shit in already existing components, which was kind of weird, but again, worth talking about. If you guys are intrigued, go back 100 episodes ago, check that out. Then roll the first of sex facts for 2017. We're going to hit the end of 2019 soon, and let's still go through this. 17 women reveal how porn shaped their sexuality. Then hit some comic talk, comic news, Lego Batman, Neil Gaiman, and Terry Pratchett's Good Omens gets TV series. I still have not seen that. It came out this year, 2019. Marvel and Square Enix join for Avengers game. By this point, I think we've all heard how bad people have been perceiving it or enjoying it so far. And new John Layman and Sam Keith title, then finally rock some comic reviews. Inhumans vs. X-Men number 2. Inhumans vs. X-Men number 3. Daredevil number 16. Teen Titans number 4. And Silver Surfer Requiem number 2. Alright guys, that's what we spoke about 100 episodes ago. I remember a few of these topics. Every time I see a title, it's like, okay, cool, I remember it. And once I go through them, it's like, okay, I remember that title. I remember that title. I remember those topics. So it's always cool for me to revisit. Episode 275, let's start it off real quick with bullet points, and I'm going to make it. I don't know, I'm going to give you guys as much information as I can, as I always get it. It's going to be Thanksgiving, so happy Thanksgiving, first of all, to all you guys. By the time you guys hear this, I had a mishap recording a few days ago on a Tuesday of the 20th of November. It's really crunch time for me is the best way I can put it. I work a lot, and with holidays coming up with a second job, it's harsh for me. It's harder for me to find time because, after Halloween, it was back to a normal schedule, but dealing with the grind with birthdays and family and getting everything situated and getting Thanksgiving ready. And I'm recording this on November 22nd on a Friday. I have off from the second job, so this is the only time I have to do it, and actually I have the space and quiet to do it. So in that, I just want to let you guys know, for these holidays, it's always harder for me to record. And I know that everyone, the holidays belong to your guys' family and friends. So I know our numbers dwindled down a bit more during holiday season because, again, everyone's traveling and you don't get back to your normal routine that you normally have. Well, it's the same thing with me, especially because I picked up a third job. I know that sounds crazy, but the bartending gig. So I did mention it last episode, I believe. I picked up a bartending gig for a party for my friend Rosanna at the office, and we did great. I got several offers that night to do two other bartending gigs for parties. One of them is going to be a wedding and another birthday party. So I technically got three job offers, gigs for a Saturday or Sunday, you know, wedding or birthday, whatever it might be. I work my office for a foreclosure company Monday through Friday. I work weekends for movie theater, bar, barista, and box office cat. Third job now is bartending parties. And the fourth job is always going to be this, which it is work. It's fun work. It's work that pays in a weird way, but I love doing it, and that's about it. Just the holidays is tough for me, especially now crunching everything in. I know a lot of people have been hitting me up on the side, and huge apologies, but you guys really got to understand, I really don't have time anymore. I'm trying to spread out my time. And it sounds like I don't have any time, and I really don't. But holiday season is more of a crunch time. And I love it, and I hate it. I just like being creative, and the party was really cool when I interact with people that cool, that down to earth. And the tips were good. Everyone was great. Everyone was nice. We got fed great. I took my brother, was my bar back, so we were making drinks. And again, this is a legit fourth job that I'm now going to take up after these offers. So depending on how big the party is, I get to make my prices. So it's still bartending and it's still something I do and I like keeping busy. All right, so you guys are completely caught up. Even Keeping Busy End of the Year Best of the Best podcast is going to come out at the end of the year, obviously. I only have like 4 more weeks to do that. List, compile that list, and I've printed all my paperwork. I have paperwork written out across the board everywhere, and just trying to dissect, okay, this, how do I feel about this, how do I feel about that, how do I feel about that. That's exactly what it is. But with the holiday season, it takes away 2 weeks I could record this week before Thanksgiving. I'm going to release this either Friday night or Saturday morning, but it's going to be an episode for both weeks. And again, you guys listen at your own leisure. And same thing's going to happen during Christmas weekend. I'm probably going to release that one. I still have no idea, but at least you guys are caught up. I'm a busy cat. And the list I have is comics, movies, TV, best of the best, 2019. Favorite TV shows of the year, shittiest movie of the year, movie of the year. I have best conventions and interviews for 2019. Cover of the year is iffy. Panel of the year is iffy. I have arc of the year, event of the year, best new comic of the year, most underrated book of the year, most consistent book of the year, dual artist writer of the year, and I also have best book of the year, single issue. All right, guys, sorry to go on for that tangent for so long, but let's hit some comic talk, some comic news. First is going to be Netflix and Nickelodeon partner for original animated movies and series. Okay, so the launch of Disney Plus came out, last week, 2 weeks ago by now, November 12th, I believe. So yeah, about a week and a half ago. And all these streaming services have to compete now. So it makes sense for other companies to work together, Netflix and Nickelodeon, to partner. If you guys picked up Disney Plus, first of all, kudos on you. That library is fucking sick already. So it's very interesting to see what other companies are going to do to compete with that library. Next one's going to be Beverly Hills Cop sequel heading to Netflix. Paramount has made a licensing deal with Netflix to deliver a fourth Beverly Hills Cop film with Eddie Murphy and Jerry Bruckheimer both returning. This is an 80s movie. I don't the age demographic. Everyone should know who Eddie Murphy is. If you guys haven't seen Back to the Future, if you guys haven't seen Beverly Hills Cop, they're great 80s movies, especially for the time. I haven't branched out to any of those except Part 3, because that's the one that normally gets played on random like TNT or TBS, I've noticed. But I saw that one probably like 3 years ago. And the first two were good. Eddie Murphy is back as an actor, though. He's been kind of hiding for so long, so I'm very intrigued by this. Also, this one I'm also intrigued by. The Texas Chainsaw Massacre is being rebooted. I know that sounds like nonsense, but everything we grew up with is just going to get rebooted all the time. This one in particular I have love for because my dad grew up in Texas and he would just give us some gnarly stories all the time. And when we literally would have to drive on the road, six kids in a van with our parents, and him to just fuck with us, like on a road and getting gas at a small town, was gnarly. But to appreciate horror movies, and I'm a horror fan, not just necessarily gory, but I'm a horror fan. And I know a lot of people are going to bitch our definitions of horror, but I love horror movies. I'm a horror fan, so I'm kind of cool with it. Fuck it, do it. This one I found out today, the 22nd of November. The Max, Channing Tatum adapting Sam Keith's cult comic. Channing Tatum and Roy Lee will produce an adaptation of Sam Keith's The Max, a cult comic that ran from 1993 until 1998. According to The Hollywood Reporter, Channing Tatum's Free Association and Roy Lee's Vertigo Entertainment will team up to produce the project. I loved this title as a kid in the 90s. When it did come out, and it's probably when my knowledge, especially the 90s, was Image Comics, and it was an Image Comics title, was huge, that early mid-90s gap, where Jim Lee X-Men, Claremont was fucking just gorgeous and dope, and when Image Comics became a thing, Spawn, I'll even say Youngblood and Prophet, all those titles. I'm curious to see what happens because this was actually an MTV cartoon show as well. Like, it was an adaptation, but it was such a beautiful adaptation of it. Like, I want all you guys to just Google it. YouTube, The Max, two X's, MTV Oddities, and they're good shows to dive into. Start off with episode number one, and it deals with just this. Some guy goes through some very dark thing in his life, and it affects him psychologically to the point where he sees his world as something different than what it is, and the people he interacts with, he's always popping into his world, quote unquote, that he thinks he's in, compared to the real world, which one is the real world. Deals with psychological issues and the ego in a weird way that hasn't been really portrayed much in comics, but it's worth checking out again, guys. Next one's going to be Joker sequel in the works. Todd Phillips talks in to return. Okay, this one came out. I'm pretty sure all you guys saw that this past week or last week by the time you guys hear this episode. Joker director wants to helm even more DC character origin stories films, though. So there has not been an okay, a green light for a Joker movie part two. But rumor is that he actually wants to do more origin stories of DC characters. I don't know if I like this any more or less either. Do I want a Joker movie part two from Todd Phillips? Honestly, no. I know I'm going to get backlash from that already. But on the same token, do I want to see his rendition of other comics and their origin stories as well? Especially if he gave the Joker an origin story that really doesn't make sense, because Joker doesn't have an origin story. Like, what other origin stories are you going to take and steal and make your own? And like, it doesn't make sense. But I mean, DC sees fucking money bags, so of course they're going to want him on, and they're probably going to give it to him. I really would love to interview Todd Phillips. He's going to hate my guts. Next one's going to be Slugfest, Avengers Endgame directors producing Marvel versus DC docu-series. Avengers and game directors Joe and Anthony Russo will produce Slugfest, a documentary series delving into the rivalry between Marvel and DC Comics, according to Deadline. The rivalry between Marvel and DC Comics, the series takes inspiration from Reed Tucker's Slugfest, Inside the Epic 50-Year Battle Between Marvel and DC, a book that charts a rivalry that has existed since the 1960s. Just the history and lore between these two giant comic book entities. I'm kind of curious to see, because even as fans, we know where it's going and where it's been. And movie-wise, comic book-wise, book brick-and-mortar stores are struggling. And the movies are doing great. The shows are doing great. But it's not getting enough people. I mean, granted, for Free Comic Book Day, you see more people, but we don't see enough people that aren't fans. Like, I really want to learn more about this character and go into a shop. All right, Marvel, Disney, now we're going to hit Disney+. Quietly drops release dates for Last Jedi, Infinity War, and more. It's been out for a week plus already, so you guys should know what's out on Disney+ already. Disney+ won't work on some Vizio Smart TVs until 2020. Granted, this is just news that I heard about. I'm like, okay, well, I don't have a Vizio. I honestly don't have a fucking TV. I don't watch TV. I know that's fucking weird for a lot of you guys to hear, and I'm going to get shit for that too, because I get shit for everything I say. Star Wars, a Mandalorian movie isn't out of the question. Disney COO Alan Horn says The Mandalorian and the other popular shows on Disney Plus could make the jump to the big screen. Next one's going to be Star Wars. Jon Favreau's influence likely to increase in coming years. Lucasfilm president Kathleen Kennedy is reportedly looking to increase The Mandalorian creator Jon Favreau's presence in the Star Wars franchise. Oh my god, episode 3 dropped this morning today. I'm going to watch that this weekend when I'm not working. I am working the second job this weekend. But yeah, that's the plan, unless I can watch it tonight, which I highly doubt. I'm not going to spoil anything for you guys, but just hashtag fucking Baby Yoda. Do me a huge favor, hashtag the 2OC podcast boys, and hashtag them Baby Yoda, because technicalities and their verbiage is, I love you guys, but wow, guys. J.J. Abrams promises Rise of Skywalker ending is emotional and meaningful. We're a month out, just about. Yesterday, the 2 days ago was exactly a month out from the Rise of Skywalker. We're all stoked. We're all jazzed. I work at the second job at the theater, and I was working box last night, and people were trying to go to the theater and buy tickets opening night, and the only earliest showtime I could find them was like on a Saturday. If you guys haven't bought tickets already, just go buy tickets already. That's about it. What else do we have on Netflix? Netflix Star Wars movie announcement expected to arrive in January, so about a month after the Rise of Skywalker movie drops, and that's going to be the end of the Skywalker saga. Again, we're all curious about that. Disney Plus's Loki series is directly linked to Marvel's Doctor Strange sequel, which I'm pretty sure you guys have heard of. And also, part of that, in the comic books, in comic books lore, there is a version of Loki that is a female. So there is a female Loki. So if anyone's thinking like, oh, you're just trying to play this Marvel, no, it's actually a fucking thing. Like, we even have a kid Loki. That's why it's great being a fan and know the lore before people start talking shit. Like saying the Joker is a good movie, because it's really not a good movie. Like, it's just not a good movie. In my opinion, I always gotta say that because people get so worked up. And rumor Marvel's Moon Knight series to be tied into the Blade movie. So, curious about all those. I have a really good review. It's Thanksgiving weekend. Again, the end of this work week for me, leading into Thanksgiving weekend for all of us. By the time you guys hear this, hopefully you guys aren't working. You get to enjoy your weekend. Start your weekend, your Turkey Day weekend with me. I wanted to write this review and review this in particular because it sounds beautiful, and it was beautiful when I read it. It's going to be two titles, both from Marvel. It's going to be Silver Surfer Black, number 4. Donnie Cates is the writer. Tried Moore is the artist, and Dave Stewart is the inker. So I have done prior reviews of this title before. So go back about a month ago and you guys find just the Silver Surfer. You guys should see it on the Cutsnip. I reviewed issue number 3 and we got what Silver Surfer had to do in order to get help, to get extra power and extra boost in this fight to combat Gnoll. And this is how issue number 4 starts. Silver Surfer says, "I can feel it growing. The darkness looms as I carry my maker on my back. Long ago, before he was the devourer, Galactus, and was an explorer named Galen." So pretty much prior issue, Silver Surfer had to enter the core of Ego, the living planet. So if you guys don't know who Ego, the living planet is, just think Guardians of the Galaxy, the movie, Kurt Russell. So that giant planet was infected by something. Silver Surfer made a deal with him. He's like, "If I can take this infection out of you, can you help me out?" And that was the last review. It's beautiful. So if you guys haven't checked that out, even hit up the Facebook site, The Comic Syndicate on Facebook. I got pictures up there. "When his universe died, or perhaps was killed, he was remade within this incubator and shunned into our universe when it exploded into being. He is there now as I deliver him from this fragile little planet. My shadow grows along with him. And I know my time burning in the infinite night is soon coming to an end. But perhaps here, at the dawn of time, facing oblivion on the back of a dragon, perhaps fate has given me one more chance to end it. To end it all. Galactus is his creator." So pretty much Norn Rad, a man on a different planet in the galaxy, pleaded with Galactus, like, "You're here to devour my world. Let me work for you. Let me find you other planets. Just save everyone here." And that's how he became the Silver Surfer. As we now get pages and panels now of Ego, very thankful to Norn, but also weary of what it cost him. He's in this lost black world, black hole world, and every time Silver Surfer does something, he's dying. It's taken up a lot of him, and it's hurting him. He's killing himself. It's what it is. And what's now coming on top of that is Gnoll, as we see Silver Surfer now with his original infection now spreading. It was started off with his hand, went to his forearm, shoulder, everything. It's enveloping him. Ego says, "Norn, I gave you my word. I will help you fight this Black King. Reach out to me, and I will be at your side." Silver Surfer, "I know, Ego, but I believe I have another way. Thank you for your shelter. I will not forget it." Ego says, that is your maker in that machine. Yes, Galactus? Yes. Ego, what would you do with him?" As we see some just beautiful panels now of what he's doing and how he's exerting the last of his powers. He has this really huge incubator square, and he uses his surfboard as a chain. He chains it up, puts it on his back, and it still has his board ready, made to go. And it's just beautiful to see. "Oh, I'm going to kill him," as the dialogue just gets gorgeous right now. "One slight push and it all goes away. Countless lives spared from his hunger. Hundreds of planets shining their light into the darkness. And I'm sorry." Where he now pictures his wife and he hears his name and he hears her voice. But upon looking up, he sees Uatu. Uatu is a watcher. The watchers are just beings that are only supposed to watch. I know it sounds gnarly, but they're never supposed to interfere with any history at all. Where he now explains several things to Norn, Uatu. "The watchers have decreed that Galactus shall live. There must always be a balance. The light, the dark. Your presence here, Silver Surfer, is the interference, not mine." As he's like, "You're not supposed to interfere." Silver Surfer knows this. "This is madness. He will kill billions. It has to end. Uatu. This will not end your pain. As now Uatu describes to him all the possible timelines and outcomes that can happen. But hear me, your actions, the things you have done, will not be unmade. You will still remain, your hands no less bloody. The only thing that will change is that you will have to live with what you have done this day. Silver Surfer answers, I don't know. I don't know how to win. Like, I'm not supposed to kill the guy who tortured me for finding billions of planets for him to destroy. I can just kill him before he gets that powerful right now. And that's a struggle that Silver Surfer is fighting, along with, like, I still got to deal with this Gnoll motherfucker. And on top of that, I'm turning tar. Like, I'm hurting myself. I'm working too much. I'm dying. That's a word switch, huh? And really cool. And he's like, I don't know how to win. I don't know how to survive this. Gnoll. As he also gives him some sort of advice, which he does. And the pages are now gorgeous to me. I'm going to put these ones up, but jump into, and they're out already in the world. So if you guys are curious, find Silver Surfer Black. This is number four. So number four and number five I'm going to hit right now. But just pull these up. Pages of Silver Surfer Black. Number four, I'll put these up shortly. The pages are just gorgeous to me. Watching these two interact and the art just completely shines and counteract each other. So, Galen, Silver Surfer uses his powers to reach into this incubator. And he's able to pull out and get some sentient being, Galactus, and able to talk to him. Galen says, show me your face. Your true face. What are you here to do? Silver Surfer answers, kill you. I can feel it. Galen, so do what you must. But as one who has gazed into it and lived, I know one thing about the nature of universal balance. You cannot defeat the dark with darkness. Which is really beautiful to me in a really twisted way. Like, these two characters that are forever bonded. Galactus, pre-Galen with fully potential powers. He's still somewhat of an infant. But he's not an infant. He's a man with just these powers already. The longer he lives in the galaxy, though, he becomes more and more powerful. But, again, he has to destroy worlds. I'm Galactus, I'm going to eat your world. That's his fucking thing. It might sound corny, but you grew up with it long enough, and you know it's like, okay. Having a moment together is just really dope to see, though. And at the end, this inner monologue. No, you cannot. I am not my name. I am not death. As he saves his maker. And again, just off of the conversation, like, you can't do this, dude. Like, I know you... Whatever I do. And he shows him, like, this is what you become. This is what you make me. And this is what I'm living with. And just a beautiful moment between these two in this way is, like, I understand. Like, do what you must if you're going to kill me. But there has to be balance. And you're really fucked up right now. And this isn't the way to go about things. Not just for his life. But he's, like, you're too fucked up to fight that thing. So just think it through type of thing. I am not my name. I am not death. As he saves his maker, I am once again damned and dying. But not without hope. It's a great ending, though, as Norn comes up with a plan to stop Gnoll, even though his infection continues to grow. Silver Surfer Black number 5, still Marvel Comics. Donnie Cates is the writer, Trad Moore is the artist, Dave Stewart is the inker. I have become undone. My shell destroyed. My atoms collapsed and scattered, dispersed across the great black kingdom. Like dust on the wind, but I am not beaten, not defeated, not gone, not yet. Slowly, I am remade. And in doing so, I remember, I will not be devoured by the plague. Something here is killing in the dark. From darkness, light. With light, a price. The memories flicker in my mind as the wounds heal. Voices of a life I once lived. I have seen such wondrously horrible things, so often that their memories have become hauntingly my own. As all his visions and experiences now rush through his head and mind, you would kill light to beat the dark. As he remembers the pages from the conversation with Gallen prior issue. So the pages now jump to what he is now facing. I am not my maker. I am not death. Not today. Where we see him use this new power now to heal himself. Like, Ego and Gallen, I'm not even Galactus yet, gave him some sort of slight ability. But to light his heart. And it's really cool. So we see him use his power not to heal himself again, but like this page is beautiful to light his heart. The power in my chest grows hot as the final battle begins, begging me to unleash its wrath upon this Lord of the Abyss. But I will not give in. I will not kill the light to beat the dark. My form unfurls as the fight rages on. My power cosmic drains with each blow given and taken. I will not win this day, but I will not lose myself to the dark. As he gets Ego's help again, finally able to help him out. And as he does, we get some more beautiful and just pages from Trad Moore in this. It's like an acid trip title, but it's so beautiful to see the way it's written with everything, the context that's going on the pages that you really need to pay attention to and appreciate. And hopefully I'm giving these words some sort of vision. Hopefully you guys can see what I'm describing to you as we see Silver Surfer now, little by little, more and more. Little by little, more and more, just getting infected and getting enveloped by this darkness. And there's a beautiful page and panel in there of every time he keeps fighting, his hand and his shoulder and half his body and his limbs and his thigh, little by little, just turning darker, and he's infected. And it's really cool as we see him just this way now. The pages and panels show what he's up to, though, and what he's creating to fight Null now. And he's fighting or creating this sword of darkness, an all black, the Necro Blade, wielded by its creator. So this is Null's sword. And using his powers, the last of his powers, Silver Surfer, with his board, creates a sword as well. The Lord of the Great Unending Abyss, and a sword of light. A silver blade of cosmic power, made of its creator's broken living flesh. The sound they make as each clash would deafen a god. As we get some just great, beautiful action sequences now. Just awesome to see. But Null getting the upper hand, using his symbiote to envelop Norrin Red. War then pulls him in and takes him under. After stabbing Norrin with the Necro Sword, like, he's fucking him up. And we see him just little by little getting enveloped, and it's like, okay, I'm screwed. I'm fucked right now. But then I hear it, strong and sure in my mind, a voice I had thought gone. No, it's over. It ends now. Your light is mine. This is his, Null's, in her monologue. Or just telling him straight up, Silver Surfer, if we turn from battle, it says, good, take it, because there is little hope of victory. Where then would valor be? I spoke these words what seemed like a millennia ago, but what I faced then is not what I face now. And while the sentiment remains true, the battle never ends. I know that I cannot stop Null. The infant son I have birthed with the last of my cosmic power will not kill him. No, he will return. I know that I cannot defeat darkness, not forever. And so I do what I do now, not to win, but to balance. The weapon I retrieved from Ego was never designed for war or for harm. It is not like me or my creator, not a destroyer or a stone-faced witness of horror. It is the light that will burn those shadows away. My legacy, the infant life of the universe forged into galactic seeds. Drawn from the star stuff of a billion terrified worlds by Ego's psychic call. For here, on this nameless barren planet, is the truth of everything your past cannot be changed. Your shadow cannot be erased. You cannot defeat the dark. But you can find the light inside of you. Protect it. Keep it from harm. Care for it. For it will be fragile. And then when it is strong, share it. Give it away. Shine it down upon those still trapped in the shadows. And in time, perhaps, the brilliance of your light will outshine the void within. And there, bathed in flame, you will be forgiven. As the panels just show exactly what he's going through now. And he's really giving himself up. Like, he's using the last of his abilities to create these cosmic seeds to spread light and, light and just, I don't know. What do you guys want to call it? I mean, motivation, spread some fucking kick in the ass to everyone. Like, let everyone light everyone's dark days type of deal. But he's given himself up. And it's just beautiful to see the effect he has now, helping to create other worlds and planets. And just creating things and giving sparks to people and light to people, other worlds, planets that need it. Creating planets and creating things and just creating and giving other people, races, species, planets the drive, hopefully the passion to create and to start new. Slowly, over endless millennia, I am remade. And in doing so, I remember who I am, who I have become. I am Norrin Rad, creator and orphan son of Zenla. I am a noble light in a great unending darkness. I am a friend, an ally, a lover, to most, a savior. I am known by many, universe-wide, as a Silver Surfer, the sentinel of the spaceways, the herald unchained, but not death. No longer that. The darkness I have given, now balanced with the light I have shared. And so now, my hands no longer drenched in red. I return in the black. And it ends, he was able to spread this. These things, these cosmic seeds. But it doesn't stop him from getting infected still. So we still have a Silver Surfer Black. I mean, that's the best way to put it. And he's now just bathed in this forever darkness for helping people. It was a beautiful story. I wanted to save it for Thanksgiving weekend. If you guys made it this far, happy fucking Thanksgiving, guys. Do me a huge favor. I wanted to save it for this particular reason. It's Thanksgiving. Reach out to people that need it. Hit up your friends, your family, your best friends. Help out wherever you can and just let people know, hey, dude, I'm here to take care of you. Give people a hug. Give people a call. Give people a text. Out of the fucking blue. And just do it. And while you guys are at it, have fun and enjoy your family and friends. And have a great Thanksgiving. Be safe. I don't know how anyone celebrates their Thanksgiving, but make sure it's good with good people. I'm going to be working the night prior. I do have off the night of the day of as well for Thanksgiving. Thank God from both jobs. And Yeah, that's it. Happy Thanksgiving, guys. Share the podcast more than anything. I'm Josiah Sat for The Villain on Twitter, at @comic_syndicate on Instagram. Subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Geez, Podchaser, Podcast, Podbean, Podomatic, anywhere you guys can find podcasts. I hope you guys enjoyed this review. I kind of saved it. I wrote it and reviewed it about a month ago, and I wanted to save it for this particular reason. I didn't want to go too long, and spend some time. Gotta give people some love, and let's be thankful we're still around to fight and to do these things, guys. All right, I'll catch you guys probably not next week, but the week after. I don't know. We'll find out. Catch you in a few. Late. Peace out.